That was Rick Smith last week. We need serious help on that quote, and the man to give us that help is the man joining us now, Joel Corey. You can read his work at Football Post and at CBS Sports as well. Joel, Mike, and Seth in Houston, you've entered a bit of a hornet's nest. Good morning, by the way.
Good morning. How you guys doing today?
Joel, we're doing well. The reason why I say that is because you need to help explain to us what the definition of a holdout is, because Rick Smith claimed last week Dwayne Brown is not actually holding out. I have always been under the impression that if a player is under contract, which he is, and he's not at training camp, then it is a holdout. Is that how you understand the definition of the word holdout?
Yeah, that's what a holdout is. I've been through a couple of those where players had a contract and refused to report and perform obligations under their contract because they wanted more money. That is a holdout. I know what Rick Smith is trying to do, which is you don't acknowledge the holdout, you don't engage in it, you worry about the people that are there, and try not to make it a big media event. So I get what he's trying to do, but he's disingenuous in his definition of a holdout.
Speaking of Joel Corey, you can follow him on Twitter at Corey Joel. Joel, you know, it's obvious that players have very little leverage in holdouts these days. The fines just get way too onerous, way too fast. And yet, I feel like we're re-entering some golden age of holdouts now, where Donald Penn, you've got multiple holdouts this year. Is there any rhyme or reason to this? Is it just coincidence, or why are more players holding out this year?
I think it's more coincidence because the fines under the CBA make it pretty onerous. $40,000 for each day of training camp that's missed. Team doesn't have to fine them that amount, but typically they do to send a message. Usually there is signing bonus that can be recouped, but there's no signing bonus proration left in Dwayne Brown's contract, so he doesn't have to worry about that. So that's less money than he'd have to potentially give back. I understand where Aaron Donald's coming from. They're switching defenses. Who knows how he's going to play in this defense? Probably be fine. Rams have had a history of doing contracts after 3 years for the first-round picks. And after what they inexplicably did for Tevin Austin last year, paying over $10.5 million per year on his average of $28 million in guarantees, they should just write a blank check to Aaron Donald, considering he's the closest thing we've seen to John Randall interior defensive line.
Joel, here's the question I have not been able to get an answer to. The Texans have a longstanding policy where, with two exceptions, Andre Johnson, J.J. Watt, they will not renegotiate deals with players who have multiple years left on their contract, like Dwayne Brown. My question, though, is this. Dwayne's 31 years old. He had a pretty good season when he came back last year. If you were in the Texans organization and you ran this thing and you actively wanted Dwayne Brown here for the next couple of years, then wouldn't it be a better idea to make the exception and sign a guy at age 31 versus age 32, where he's older, one more season, and he's more expensive? What do you think about that angle of it?
Teams don't really think like that for the most part. They've opened the floodgate or the door with what they did for J.J. Watt, and they had to do something for Andre Johnson because he made a poor choice when he did his extension, and it was just so... he was so underpaid, you're going to have to adjust it sooner rather than later. What they didn't do was readjust it towards the tail end of his tenure in yes. Houston when he wanted another contract. But the team's probably looking at it from the standpoint that if we do something for Brown now, then we're going to have guys like Whitney Merciless, who's starting to get into that Andre Johnson territory because he signed a deal which makes him severely underpaid, that has years left on it. He's got 3 years under contract right now. J.J. Watt is going to be a huge problem if he can be the old J.J. Watt, because they have him for $67.5 million for 5 years. That thing runs through 2021, and he's already underpaid if he's the old J.J. Watt. So they're trying to avoid that type of headache where you've got multiple guys coming back with multiple years left on their contract saying, do me too.
Joel, you know, I'm glad you used that phrase, open the floodgates, because we in the media, I think rightfully, are skeptical when coaches or owners cite the word distraction. Like, when we feel like that's overused. Coaches worry about distraction more than maybe they should, or they use it as an excuse, where I feel like in this instance, the media sometimes doesn't really properly appreciate how much of a distraction it is when all of a sudden half the team is clamoring for a renegotiation and how much stress that puts, not just necessarily in the locker room, but on the players and on, or on the coaches and on the front office staff itself.
You know, the thing is, the players are going to typically stay out of another man's money for the most part. And the only time they're really going to start getting or taking opinion is when it starts affecting their one loss record. I helped represent Keenan McCardell, and he had a holdout in 2004, really bitter one with Tampa Bay. And he had the support of all his teammates, but they got off to such a terrible start where he could have made a difference between the season going right and going wrong. And there was some frustration early in that year because he held out into the regular season once the team started going south from his teammates. So up until it really starts affecting the one-loss record, you're going to have support from the teammates. The coaches will try to focus and treat it like an injured player, and only worry about the guys they have there. It becomes a distraction when they get asked about it all the time, which is the media's job. And the longer Dwayne Brown is out, the more they're going to get asked about it, and they'll get tired of having to hear the question. So I expect if he's really serious, nothing's going to get done quickly because holdouts usually last a long time. It may go down to towards the end of training camp if the Texans decide to do something, because that's what happened when we had Jimmy Smith holdout in 2002. That was a 38-day holdout, and he got paid after all the preseason games were done but before the regular season started.
Usually in these deals when a guy ends his holdout, it's never made public, but the team forgives a certain amount of the fines or the lost salary or whatever. And I know some owners would like those fines to be mandatory, but doesn't it become kind of an incentive that the team can give the player? Once the player realizes, oh, man, I just lost out on $3 million, and that was dumb. I'm not going to get anything out of it. Does it work on ownership's favor, at least, that they can at least offer sweeten the pot a little bit?
Yeah, once the player realizes he's not going to get anything, then the agent starts having the talk with people in the front office, whether the cap guy, the GM, that if he decides to come back in, then what would you do with the fines? Would you waive them entirely, cut it in half, or whatever? When we did Jimmy's negotiation, part of his new deal was they weren't going to enforce the fines. So that's something that gets taken care of privately. Never typically doesn't come out publicly what a team does in terms of waiving the fines, but typically they need to do something so there's some sort of deterrent aspect.
You can follow him on Twitter at Corey Joel. You can catch his work, CBS Sports and Football Post. He is tremendous on all these matters. Joel Corey, thank you so much, Joel.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Joel Corey on the hotline on a Monday morning.
I phrased my question improperly. Damn it.
That's okay.
I hate myself for the next 22 hours over that.
We have a Southern Fried Chicken Fest giveaway at 7:45. Stay tuned for that. Plus, in headlines, Seth and I go on the record. What does Jeff Luhnow have to get done today at the deadline?